This is your last chance to enter the Ohio Lottery's Fun Turns 50 promotion. Score $3,500 and two tickets to the epic party at the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, where you could win part of another $400,000 in cash prizes. Enter the new 50th anniversary scratch-off or $50 worth of eligible non-winning $5 or $10 scratch-offs and My Lotto rewards through the Ohio Lottery app. Hurry up! The last entry deadline is May 13th. Lottery players are subject to Ohio laws and commission regulations. Play responsibly.
You haven't heard about the McCrispy yet. Well then, you probably haven't heard the sweet silence after the first crispy bite either. Go try it for yourself to hear the best not sound you've ever heard.
The NBA playoffs are here, and we all know playoff mode is a thing. Listen to the evidence. Playoff crowds are going wild. Playoff players are lighting up the court. Even your speakers are in playoff mode. Okay, we'll take it down a notch, but just a notch, because this is the Turn It Up to 11 NBA Playoffs. Playoff mode is clearly a thing. The NBA Playoffs presented by Google Pixel continue on ABC, ESPN, TNT, and NBA TV.
Jones! Bowden!
He's got it!
Stokes flashes it away through the covers for four, and England have won the match.
Hello, welcome to the Analyst Inside Cricket. We've had 12 hours of cricket to watch today. I have to say, it hasn't been that riveting overall. It's been batsmen with rearguard actions mostly, and the ball not doing a huge amount off the pitch, except in Lahore, where actually the ball was doing something on the final day of that Pakistan-Australia series. And actually, for about half an hour, it was quite good to watch, wasn't it? When Pat Cummins was reverse swinging it from one end and Nathan Lyon was spinning it quite sharply from the other, and the Pakistanis were resisting. I know this is really supposed to be a podcast about West Indies v England, but in a way, I think that Pakistan-Australia series takes pride of place, do you?
Yeah, I think Australia have done really well to win. I mean, I thought in the Ashes that they were people sort of damned them with faint praise a bit. They said that, you know, it wasn't a great Australian side and England played poorly. I thought it was actually they're actually quite a decent Australia side, and England played poorly. But they've gone to Pakistan, they've toughed it out. I mean, it really has been a hard fought series, a real arm wrestle of a series out there. It's been tough for the bowlers. They've had to be patient. The batters have had to be patient at times as well on those slow pitches, and eventually Australia have just been able to force the Pakistan arm down onto the ground and win the series. You know, it went to the last session of the last test match to decide the series, and there were some strange shots played towards the end, but then, you know, you talk about lower order players under pressure, but Hassan Ali and Shaheen Shah Afridi played extravagant strokes in the circumstances, but they're probably their target was just a bit too far away. I don't mean in terms of winning the game, but I mean in terms of just drawing it. And Australia, excellent, really. Cummins led them well, and Lyon chipped in with his wickets. I mean, he's such a good cricketer, Lyon. He really is.
Yeah, and I think Cummins deserves a lot of credit too, not only for his bowling, which, I mean, is outstanding. 12 wickets in the series on those totally dead tracks, at an average of 22, and those three key wickets today, finishing the game off with knocking out two stumps out of the ground in an emphatic way to seal victory. And they've sort of stuck with it. They've stuck at it, the Australians. But Cummins has always smiled. He's always looked positive. He's set an imaginative, fairly positive declaration in this last match. And, you know, he's always sort of fiddling about with the field. And he's very animated. Without being a captain who puts the players, his players, under pressure, he's animated all the time. He's always looking to just try and tinker with things a little bit, while retaining quite a relaxed general demeanour, and very kind of honourable, gracious kind of shaking of hands at the end, thanking the opposition for the match, and I've got the highest admiration for Pat Cummins. But wow, what a bowler as well! I mean, carrying the attack a little bit, certainly as a seamer, and certainly in the early stages of innings. Obviously, Mitchell Starc comes into it perhaps later on, but Cummins just bears the brunt of having to lead that attack in any conditions, and he's just always up for it, isn't he? He's coming in, charging in all the time, relentless, barreling his way to the wicket, trying to buffet his way through the batsman's attack, trying different ploys. He's certainly not a one-trick pony. You know, fantastic bowler.
Yeah, high class, really high class bowler, and fully justifies his, you know, rank right at the top of the Test match bowling log. Cummins 15.1 overs, 6 maidens, 3 for 23. I mean, I remember being in Australia when we saw that Tim Payne wasn't going to be retained as Australia's captain. People were saying, well, it can't be Cummins as captain. It can't be. It's got to be a batter. You know, Cummins is not going to be able to play all the games. They're going to have rest and rotation. But he did miss one game, of course, but that was because he was near someone who tested positive for COVID. So he had to isolate a game in Adelaide. So bizarrely, that was the only one he has missed so far. I mean, it may be that down the line, he will have to take a back seat every now and again, and that Steve Smith will lead the side. But you know, he played in the Ashes, he's played in this series, and he's led from the front, and two excellent victories. He's had two series, one against England at home, one against Pakistan away. And I sort of feel as well, just watching some of the Pakistan-Australia series, that the cricket is at a different level to the one we're seeing in the Caribbean. And I think we know that. You look at the rankings, Australia right up there, aren't they? They're a good side. Pakistan are a tough nut to crack at home. They really are. And mind you, so are the West Indies. But it just feels that it's a level up. And in the Caribbean, you've got two sides, again, playing on difficult pitches. Again, with an arm wrestle, but without quite the same quality, I think.
Yeah, there's a bit more flair about the Pakistani players, isn't there? They're, even when they're defending, they look quite impressive and quite stylish. Whereas the West Indies batsmen, when they defend, are a bit dogged, really, which is obviously admirable that they stay in, but it doesn't make for much riveting watching. I mean, one other thing about the Pakistan series. It's great to see the crowds back. Not big crowds, but enthusiastic, quite noisy crowds, which is good. And I think for kind of imagination on the sponsorship front, they win as well. You know, they've got there was a glue sponsor and a battery company sponsoring, and the Kentucky Fried Chicken bucket, which is on the outfield beyond the boundary, and if it's hit by a six, this bucket, then Kentucky Fried Chicken can give away a free diploma or a degree or course at some university. Well, that's going to be safe, isn't it? With the one bucket on the outfield for a six to give away. But still, they're getting their exposure. And it's just nice to see companies getting involved and, you know, commentators having to do their little dutiful bit and plug a battery company and all that. But it all adds to it, really, which I mean, you know, takes us to the West Indies series, which... it's just a bit moribund in comparison, and there's a lack of sort of energy just all around the place, except actually in the musical or party stand where they're dancing all day. But both on the field and to a lesser extent in the commentary box, it just sounds a bit sort of a bit moribund, a little bit, you know. And I'm not sort of criticising the commentators particularly, because there's not an awful lot to talk about. But it looks to me like, you know, we've been watching back to a few old test matches from yesteryear, haven't we? And it looks like watching a 1968 test match a little bit.
Mm. Yeah,
or a county game from 1972.
I think what's happened a little bit is that because it has been so attritional, the cricket, and so defensive at times, I think far more from West Indies. We talked about the runs per over in the first two test matches, England scoring quicker than West Indies in both the test matches, because it's been a bit like that, and the games have been back to back, and the pitches were dead for the first two matches. I think everyone sort of feels like you've been battered over the head a bit, you know, everyone's sort of been beaten into submission. And actually, you know, it could be I don't think it's a good game, but I think it could be a good finish. I think that's probably the best way to sum it up, isn't it? I mean, the game is right in the balance. And, you know, if England were to lose this series, I mean, that is a massive setback for them. You know, I know they haven't won very often in the Caribbean, but, you know, West Indies right down there in eighth place. It's a bottom-of-the-table clash in terms of the ICC Test Championship. and it's not a great West Indies side. So for England, you know, anyway, it hasn't been lost yet. It's still to be settled, and it could well be that England will get third innings runs and put some pressure on West Indies in the fourth innings. But they're not a great side, West Indies, and I think it shows that England are not a great side as well. They've got one or two, you know, top class players, of course, haven't they? In Root and Stokes and Bairstow, we saw that 100 earlier in the series. But there are, you know, there's some flaws in the side, and the bowling attack is a little bit thin, and it's made for a sort of lower class series, if you like, in terms of the quality, and the pitches haven't helped as well. What do you make of this pitch? I mean, at least there's something for the bowlers there in this surface. It's more of the sort of variable bounce variety, isn't it? I mean, Craig Brathwaite, that's the way to get rid of him, isn't it? Just a ball that just rolls along the ground. I mean, you had to find some way of getting him out, and the pitch finally did for him really.
It's still slow. It hasn't got a lot of life. The first 10 overs with the new ball is the best part of the game, because the ball kind of bounces, goes through reasonably well, it does swing a bit, the batsman can play a few shots. After that, the lowness of the bounce, the slowness of the bounce just makes it rather dull, and it's hard for the batsman to play shots, and it's hard for the bowlers to take wickets. I thought England were a bit overdid the short ball ploy a little bit to the lower order when the ball just wasn't getting up at all, and it was just too predictable. You know, if it's a low bouncing pitch, aim at the stumps, aim at the pads, and bring as many versions or options of dismissal into the equation as you can. It was a bit sort of stalematey in the end. And actually, West Indies did quite well to take the lead. And we said, didn't we, that I thought West Indies should get 300 on there, and I still think they should have got 300. There were some pretty poor shots in the middle of the innings. And they got to 232 for 8 in the end. They'll probably get 250, which I guess actually England will settle with that in the end, because they didn't bat well, England. They certainly sacrificed about half their wickets. West Indies did the same, and they got a lead of 32. Well, if England can keep that to 50, I think they've still got a chance of winning, actually.
Well, the West Indies lead is 28. Yeah, the 232 for 8. So they're 28 runs out. They still have those two wickets left. You say, they'll probably get 250. I mean, the tale of this match so far has been batters 1-7 getting next to nothing, and the rest 8-11 scoring all the runs. So what do England do? So just reverse the batting order tomorrow? It has happened in Test cricket.
Yeah. Actually, we used to do that at Uxbridge. You know, Middlesex used to do that at Uxbridge, because the first 10 overs, in about the mid-80s, the first 10 overs at Uxbridge, which was quite a lively pitch, actually at one point the fastest pitch in England, it just took off for the first 10 overs and no one could play it. So they sent a few sacrificial lambs in like me.
Oh, good luck.
And we were sort of 10 for 4 and then 300 for 4. Sometimes it can actually work. I can't see that tomorrow. And actually, the pitch, I think, is not as difficult as it was on the first morning. You know, it'll still do a bit, but it was seeming prodigiously on that first morning. I don't think that'll happen. I think the dampness has gone. There'll still be a bit of uneven bounce, a bit of swing. But if Crawley and Lees can get sort of stuck in and have a little bit of luck, and I don't see any reason why they can't put up a reasonable opening partnership, actually. They've just got to be very, very disciplined early on.
I suppose the real concern for England is that West Indies get away against the new ball tomorrow morning. You feel it shouldn't happen. You know, fresh bowlers tomorrow. The ball is only 6 overs old. I didn't think there was that. I mean, you've got tired bowlers tonight, I suppose, at the end of a series when it's been back-to-back-to-back test matches. But I didn't think there was that much sort of zip there for the new ball. I think you thought that Overton looked a bit more threatening than Wokes with the new ball. But yeah, I thought De Silva batted really well. I mean, Ben Stokes was going at him, and there was no one. De Silva was giving it back. I don't mean in terms of like attacking cricket. I mean in terms of the verbals. I don't know whether that was sort of Stokes trying to get himself going or trying to get De Silva going. Really trying to knock his concentration. I was trying to listen on the stump mics to what they were saying. It was tantalising, actually. You almost want the director to stop the commentators talking and just turn the stump mics up. I got the impression, I thought I heard Stokes say something like, "You're supposed to be a batter," or something like that. And, you know, De Silva, what was it? It was a slow innings, 54 from 152 balls. It was Brathwaitian, really, from De Silva, but mighty effective. You know, he's not a particularly pretty player, but it's been effective. And he was effective in the last game as well, wasn't he, in helping to West Indies to save the game. So, you know, fair play to him. Well done to him, because he's given West Indies just a bit of hope, definitely. I mean, they were 128 for 7 and in big trouble, really. And with Roach and also with Alzari Joseph, that, you know, they added 100 or so for one wicket. So, yeah, it's a bit like Leach and Mahmood. It's been a strange old game, really, this one.
And one other kind of strange thing is that as a total contrast to the old West Indies, you see the middle order getting bounced out, the West Indies middle order, getting bounced out by 80-mile-an-hour English bowlers, which is total opposite to what was happening 25 years ago with England batsmen getting bounced out by 90-mile-an-hour West Indian. And, yeah.
It wasn't just the middle order either, was it? It was the whole order, yes. From 1 to 11 getting bounced out.
Yeah. So strange, almost as if the West Indies batsmen are not now used to the short ball very much, because they haven't got many fast bowlers of their own, a couple or two or three, but nobody who's absolutely rapid, really. And it's as if their pitches and their bowlers don't really expose them to much fast bowling.
You haven't heard about the McCrispy yet? Well, then, you probably haven't heard the sweet silence after the first crispy bite either. Go try it for yourself to hear the best not sound you've ever heard.
The NBA playoffs are here, and we all know playoff mode is a thing. Listen to the evidence. Playoff crowds are going wild. Playoff players are lighting up the court. Even the speakers are in playoff mode. Okay, we'll take it down a notch, but just a notch, because this is the Turn It Up to 11 NBA Playoffs. Playoff mode is clearly a thing. This is what you love about playoff basketball. The NBA Playoffs, presented by Google Pixel, continue on ABC, ESPN, TNT, and NBA TV.
Both teams are playing on two flat pitches so far, slow, low pitches where the batters dominate, control the game, feel confident, and then suddenly you play on a pitch that is a bit more unpredictable. Certainly on the first day there was some seam movement, wasn't there? There was less for England today, but the variable bounce as well. We did see a couple of low balls take wickets today. How different or difficult is that for just suddenly to adjust to that? I know you say, well, it's part of you playing a series, different venues for different conditions, but it has the conditions here have been quite different, not totally different because the pitch is still quite slow, but quite different from what we've seen so far on the other two venues.
I mean, it shouldn't be difficult, really. It should be something that you enjoy as a cricketer, actually, and you relish, because, you know, if you grow up in, say, club cricket or even county cricket, you're going to get, certainly 20 years ago, you would get lots of different styles of pitch to try and adapt to. And I think that's part of the fun of it, actually. And obviously it applies to bowlers as well. You've got to bowl different lengths on different surfaces and so on. So I don't think there's much excuse. I think you should be able to adapt. You should be able to... It's not easy reading a pitch before you see the ball actually bowl on it. You know, you always want to watch the first couple of overs and see the bounce and see the movement and so on. But once you've seen that, you should be able to adapt, I think.
What about the game then? What about the balance of the game? I've just had a look at the odds. West Indies are marginal favourites. Well, they've got this little lead at the moment, haven't they? And they've still got two wickets left. But they do have to bat last. Now, it may well be that batting last doesn't mean bat on the fifth day, when the pitch, you know, could really be up and down. It's probably bat last on the fourth day or majority of the fourth day. I suppose it's a question of whether the pitch is going to get any worse in the next couple of days. So does that slightly insulate them against batting last, because it won't be fifth day batting last? Not necessarily, unless England go big, of course. It's possible that England might go really big.
It's got to be. England have to go big. And they have to bat. They have to aim to get 350. And I think if they get that, 350 plus, and I don't think there's any reason why they shouldn't, actually. It's not that difficult a pitch if you get in. Look at the way Joshua De Silva has stayed in. He hasn't looked in any trouble. Obviously, he comes in at number 7, but you know, he's not a sort of world-class player. So, you know, if he's managed to stay in and make 50 odd in 150 balls, why can't Stokes, Root, Crawley, Lawrence, etc., why can't they? You know, so I think actually that I make England marginal favourites, because I think if they bat long in the second innings, and I realise it's a big if, then I think the pitch will start to go underground towards the end of the match, and there'll be a few LBW victims, and those could be the West Indies batsmen.
Yeah, it does feel like an LBW pitch. Well, there were a few today, and I think I just one thought for that England second innings. If there are a couple of low balls there, and that suddenly it unsettles batters, doesn't it? When you get a couple of low balls that get bowled or LBW, whatever. And I mean, who knows? I mean, the game could end tomorrow. That's looking at from an England perspective in a very pessimistic way. But I mean, unlikely. But but by the end of the third day, this game could be seriously advanced if England did bat poorly on the third day. So I suppose that what we can say is that although the cricket is not scintillating, it's got a bit more about it in this match. I mean, it couldn't have been much less, really, I think, than Barbados and Antigua, which I think actually left us feeling, not optimistic about the future of Test cricket, but just made us think, come on, if this Test cricket is like this, does it have the future, the vibrant future that we all want for it? But every now and again, you're going to get pitches and conditions and series where you don't get what you want out of it in terms of enjoyment. You know, in a way, when you do get the excitement, the fact you've been through some of the sort of boring Test matches and hard work Test matches, actually it elevates the really big moments. It's a bit like life, isn't it? Life is not a party every day. So sometimes you enjoy the parties more because of some of the duller bits you've had to endure.
The non-alcoholic evenings. I would say that this game is actually quite well poised. And I think possibly England's superior fitness might tell in the end. You know, there's a slight laziness about some of the West Indies running between the wickets, things like that, which England never suffer. You know, you've got the Bairstows and Stokes and individuals like that who are really pushing the fielders all the time. That might be one of the things. And the bowlers, there's probably not much to choose between the bowlers fitness-wise, but I wonder, you know, England have that extra resource. They've always had that extra approach to fitness. They've got Paul Collingwood as their head coach who will drive that message pretty firmly if Stokes and others don't, which they do anyway. So I wonder if that's just going to, you know, England will just eke out enough runs in their second innings to make it tough for the West Indies and finally prevail on the fifth day.
Who do you think's got the better attack? I mean, you look at this West Indies.
Probably West Indies, actually.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, their talent. I tell you who I really like. I think Jaden Seals, really good. He gets that late swing and he's at the batsman all the time. He seems quite intelligent, learning quickly. Good bowler. He's going to be around for a while. He is. He's got that natural Jimmy Anderson style late waspish swing, which is difficult to play and a decent pace.
I just wonder whether West Indies have picked the right attack for this pitch. I mean, they've gone with five seamers basically, haven't they? And they've got some part time spinners. They left out Pamal and they brought in Mayers. It's also strengthened their batting a bit. So, you know, there's a bit of extra batting for them, which is potentially a factor in the game. I don't know. We've talked about this before, whether a pitch is a five seamer pitch or whether you always want to have a spinner. I mean, there may be something for Jack Leach sort of late on the fourth into the fifth day, but you feel it's the seamers. You feel it's the seamers bowling straight, getting that variable bounce that can cause the problems. And it's in a sense, it's quite relentless and can be quite dull just seeing seam bowling the whole time. But sometimes must needs, and sometimes you say, well, a pitch is, you know, it's a three spinner pitch or whatever. I once saw, I mean, I've mentioned this before occasionally, but I once saw for a 2020 match at Sapphire Gardens, a five spinner pitch. I'm telling you, it was a five spinner pitch. I've never seen a pitch like it. You bowl spin on it, it was almost impossible. And every, you know, but the team that had some I think Aral Sapaia took 6 wickets of Somerset, took 6 wickets in a T20 game. And you never think about bowling 5 spinners, do you? But you sometimes think of having 5 seamers. Anyway, that's a slight digression. But I just wonder whether West Indies, in this game, have got the stronger attack. I mean, Wokes came back well today, picked up a couple of wickets in an over with short balls. You mentioned him bouncing a couple of players out. Overton, steady. Mahmood has actually looked promising,
bad,
isn't he?
He's bowled some good promising in-swingers. I think he is a promising cricketer. I think he needs a little bit more with a conventional, a newer ball to be able to swing it away somehow. But I mean, look, it didn't handicap Wacker Yunis. He never swung much of them away with a new ball, and he was absolutely devastating with the old one. So either he needs a bit more skill with the new ball, or he just needs to get a bit more pace with the old ball. But good consistency, looks fit, knows where to bowl. I like his attitude. It's good.
Yeah, he definitely looks like a cricketer for the future.
And especially away from home, actually.
Well, we posed this question, didn't we, in an earlier podcast. How are England going to get wickets in Pakistan? And actually, Australia, I know Lyon took wickets today, but Australia, and you feel actually that pace bowlers might be one of the ways to go in Pakistan, if you can do something with it, like reverse
swing. And the key, by the way, to reverse swing, especially in Pakistan, is not to bowl too full, because the batsman can deal with the full one. Mm. It's the length ball, which is what Cummins is so good at. Mm. He bowls those good length deliveries, just full of a length, not a half volley, not a Yorker, but just on a foolish length that just angle in or kind of fade into to the right-handed batsman and go quite sharply at times. And those are the balls that you need to perfect. At the moment, Mahmood looks as if he's more inclined to go with the big, really big, full booming ball, which a good batsman's better at dealing with.
Anyway, that's a question.
One for the future.
One for the future, isn't it? How are England going to get wickets in Pakistan? How are they going to get the last 2 West Indies batters out in this innings? That's first thing. It's first in the morning in Grenada. 2 wickets to go. 6 overs they've had with a new ball. They would look to polish it off. And then 10 more in the second innings. So they need to focus on that first. And it needs to be a decent batting day for England if they are not to lose in the West Indies again. I mean, there's we're talking about England and West Indies quite close together on the odds. The draw is well out. It's something like 8-1 the draw, which is great actually after the 2 draws you've had so far in the series. It's not impossible the game could be drawn if there was a bit of weather around. Not absolutely impossible. It doesn't feel like it. It does feel as though sometime in the next 2-3 days we're going to get a result in this test match, and it'll be fascinating to see which way it goes. After all some of the sort of dreary cricket, perhaps we get a tie, I don't know.
That'd be a bizarre one, wouldn't it? Anyway, well played to Australia and Pakistan in that epic series that they've just concluded. That's been, for me, the highlight of the last 2-3 days, and now all those cricketers head off to the IPL. So from one extreme to the other. Chennai Super Kings against Kolkata Knight Riders tomorrow. So, wow, what a contrast.
Yeah, and the start of a new era as well, Yoz, with no...
10 teams, yeah.
Well, 10 teams, but also no Dhoni as captain of Chennai Super Kings. Jadeja will be leading. Of course, no Owen Morgan as captain of Kolkata Knight Riders as well. So the final from last year, or the last competition, both the captains not in situ for the opening match of the IPL. For the 2-month IPL as well, or a bit more than 2 months. The final is on the 29th of May with the extra fixtures that are going to be played. There's some tired cricketers in the West Indies. There's going to be some tired cricketers in India as well by the end of the IPL.
At least they haven't got to travel all over India.
No, they haven't.
They're only going to Mumbai and Pune, so there won't be all that sort of hopping on a flight at 7 o'clock in the morning to get to the next venue.
Yeah. Yeah, 3 venues in Mumbai and 1 in Pune, the 4 venues for this season's IPL. Anyway, a lot of cricket going on and plenty of fascinating cricket to be played over the weekend, we hope, with this England-West Indies test series coming towards its conclusion. And we'll be back to wrap up the events of the third day, and we'll speak to you again soon. Goodbye for now. We'll be right back.
Social Podcast Network.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.